Welcome to today's episode of the Fit to Lead podcast. Today, you are in for a true treat. I am excited to have Amanda Goetz on the podcast. So if you don't know Amanda, go to amandagoetz.com. She is a founder, brand builder, creator, investor. She's been a CMO, multiple companies, and she's a single mom of three. She teaches productivity to emerging leaders and has an incredible newsletter and a masterclass that I recently took and cannot rave enough about. So listen in to this amazing conversation with Amanda. So I am super excited to introduce Amanda Goetz to the Fit to Lead podcast. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you here. I'm a big fan. So I've followed your newsletter for a really long time and really want to bring you on and share. I know you have big things going on, but I would love for just to kick off, as I always ask all of my guests, tell me about yourself, your journey, how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So I'll try to make this a 30-second version, but so I grew up in the Midwest on a farm and I'm a first generation college grad. My dad is kind of the town plumber, electrician, and my mom kind of stayed at home, raised us and helped support him. Then I was like, okay, I think I'm going to go to college. They did not pressure me, but I went and, graduated from University of Illinois in 3.5 years because I was paying for it. And I was like, well, this is expensive. And I actually got my first job at Ernst & Young. I was interning at EY when I was a senior in college. So
wow.
I got the job summer before my senior year. And basically Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I took 18 hours at school. Every Wednesday night, I took a bus from Champaign, Urbana up to Chicago. And I worked 20 hours Thursday and Friday at EY. But this, you have to remember, this is like 2007 is what the year I graduated. That put me right before the big crash. And the fact that I did that secured me a job before everyone else that graduated in 2008, which is the year I was supposed to graduate. So look, I believe the universe really put me in a position, even though that almost broke me doing that for a semester.
Yeah.
So I was at EY in Chicago. I got married super young, which I talk a lot about kind of my journey, getting married young and what I learned from that. And then that my partner at the time got transferred to New York City. So I transferred with EY. And then shortly thereafter, I actually decided I wanted to get into more consumer facing stuff. So I actually went and worked for a celebrity wedding planner, which is completely a 180 to EY.
Yeah.
But I managed his brand. He had licensing deals, book deals. He had a reality TV show. So I got to really understand like personal branding, managing it, what it looked like. And I also planned over 150 weddings, which is kind of like a fun fact, which
wow.
That I think a lot of my time management skills actually were like really developed during that period of life. But from there, I was very active in kind of some nonprofit work for kids in New York City. And I met this guy who was a serial entrepreneur and he was like, hey, I think I'm going to start something in the wedding space. I really want to do it with you. Cause we had grown to know each other over the nonprofit work. And I was like, I don't know what that means, but that sounds cool. I want it. Yeah. I know entrepreneurial stuff. My dad started a business. So I went completely blindly into this startup. And this was back in 2011, 2012, when the New York City tech scene was just heating up. Like Union Square Ventures was still like very new. And it was like my MBA. I view that time as like so important. I joined an accelerator program. I learned what a term sheet was, what, you know, it meant to pitch investors, like how to actually manage people. Like there was so much I learned in that accelerator program. That company ended up leading me to a pitch night one night at the Knot because it was in the wedding space. And Carly Roney, the founder of the Knot, was on the panel. And our paths had crossed a few times just because I've been in the space for a while. And she pulled me aside after I pitched and she was like, let's have coffee tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. So we had coffee the next day and she was like, I think you would be perfect for this role at the Knot. Like, how are things going? And like in startup world, most startups fail, but you learn a ton. And so I don't believe that there's any concept of a failing startup because if you actually pour yourself into it, you learn so much. So it wasn't going so well. And she was like, let's just like, it's kind of like an acqui-hire. It's like, let me just bring you over and this concept over because what we were building was kind of what the Knot was about to build. So I went there and then I was at the Knot for 5.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, this was really so when I came, they actually brought in a new CEO from Google, and it was taking kind of an traditional editorial play. You know, it was the magazine, it was advertising, and they were transforming it into a two-sided marketplace, a registry marketplace, really owning a vertical. So I that like there's moments in your career where there's a job that just elevates you on every level. And that was that time for me. The people I was working with, just they all came from incredible places. I like learned, and it was in person, which I sometimes like get sad that people don't get that
Yes.
experience because I just was a sponge. I wanted to be in every meeting and I would just watch and see how people conducted themselves, and I just absorbed it all. And I built a team. So I was the first like consumer marketing hire. I built the brand marketing team and the product marketing team. And so by the time I left, I had a team of almost 50 people under me,
Wow.
which was super cool because I'm still like pretty new in my career.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit. I decided, so this is now on a personal timeline. I've already gotten a divorce and I have 3 kids under the age of 4 at this time.
Oof.
COVID hits.
Oh.
And I realized that I had been wanting to start another company for a while, but I hadn't really thought like there was something I was super passionate, because for me, there's two types of entrepreneurs in my brain. There's people who are like, I want to just build companies. I don't care what it is. I just go, I jump in, I build. And for me, it has to be emotionally connected. I have to be like, I feel so passionate about this that I
Yes.
wake up every day thinking about it, thinking I'm uniquely positioned to solve it. So I realized that there were a lot of women drinking alcohol and more alcohol during COVID. And I was seeing the headlines, and this is kind of before the like low alcohol movement.
Yeah.
I wanted to create a supplement brand that was so much more than a just like a gummy. And we had gummies for sleep, sex, stress, and strength. But more of it was like, how do I help women find space in their day for the things that are important, like rest, like pleasure, like health and fitness. And so it was really, really fun to build that during COVID. And so I raised 2 rounds of capital for that and then built that for a few years. And then I kind of burnt out. I hadn't realized the physical and emotional toll getting a divorce plus COVID plus starting a company. When you're in it and you're like a highly ambitious person, I think stress and busyness are like adult Girl Scout badges. Like we're like,
Yes.
oh, I'm busy, I'm stressed, but that's
Yeah.
totally normal because I'm high performer and ambitious and all these things. And I started experiencing health issues and panic attacks and like the real physical manifestations of stress. And I was like, okay, I think I need to take it down a notch. So, I sold the company. My board was amazing and we sold it, and I basically took like what I call an 8 month sabbatical, but I couldn't take a true sabbatical because I'm a single mom. I have 3 kids. I kind of need a paycheck and I kind of need health insurance. So I went and took a job. Like I worked for a company and I just reported to someone and I was a VP of marketing and I was not pushing. I didn't care. Like I cared to the extent that I did my job and I did it well, but like
Sure.
going at 100 miles per hour, when you start driving the speed limit, you're like, oh, this is coasting. But yeah, so I did that for a little bit and then gave myself the rest I needed. And then it was like, well, what do I want to do now? And I love writing. Writing has been such a huge part of my marketing career. I write, I always love writing the comms or the copy for a campaign or whatever. So I'm like, maybe I'm going to start writing all the things that I've learned. I've had 2 decades now of stuff that have happened. And I'm like, I feel like there's a lot of wisdom and little nuggets there that could help people. So started a newsletter, realized that people were kind of craving this kind of like real information, not this like very perfectly polished stuff like we were talking about. It's like I don't get up at 5 a.m. to take an ice bath. Like I have 3 kids. I'm doing real life right now, and I don't have a safety net. I don't have a financial safety net. I didn't come from money. I now have a partner, but like having a partner as a single mom is still not the same because they're not his kids, and I don't expect him to take on all of the workload. But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at now. I got a book deal in December,
Love
and
it. Congratulations.
thank you. I'm so excited about it, and it's truly like everything I've ever like thought and learned throughout my life that I wish somebody would have told me or helped me with as a woman specifically. So writing that, and then I started a community for people who are kind of in those early days of building their personal brand. What does that look like? Like, how do I do that while I'm still doing a side job thing? And then decided to launch a masterclass, which I know, you have taken. So
Yes.
yeah, there, I'll pause. Like that's kind of my full journey.
I love it. I love it so much. There's so much goodness there. So, like, with all the experiences you've had and all the things you've done and seen and people you've met, what would you consider like your superpower? Like, if you had to pinpoint the one thing where you're like, this is what makes me uniquely me.
Focus, like my ability to block out and attack a task at hand is I don't believe in multitasking. I don't believe in trying to juggle two things. Like if I'm playing with my kids, everything's out of the way. Like I will play with my son, I'll get out, I'll build the magnet tiles, we're doing it. But in reverse, like if I'm choosing to work and I have the kids around, like I will put the TV on and say, you guys are doing this. I'm going heads down. When Alexa timer goes off, I'll stop. Like I'm very big on, I'm gonna sit down, do this thing, and I don't get distracted. So I think that that's been kind of my superpower throughout
Love
all of
that.
this.
I love that. So, and I know you talked a little bit about, stress management and wellness and health. What for you is like a non-negotiable? Like what is, for your self-care and your well-being, what is something that you absolutely have to do?
I mean, the number one thing that has never swayed throughout my whole life, even in college, because I got up early to teach group fitness classes. I had 4 jobs in college. And
Course you did.
right, because, right. It's kind of comical, but when you don't have money and everybody else has money, you're like, I got to figure this out. And every job served its own purpose. It's like I was a marketing intern because I was good for getting a job. On the weekends, I was a nanny. At nights, I was a Hooters waitress because that actually made me money. Like everything served a different purpose. But then in the mornings, I was a personal trainer. I was a certified personal trainer because health and wellness, I was an athlete my whole life. And that's a huge part of me. And that gives me joy. And I was like, if I can get paid to work out, like this is a no-brainer. So, but yeah, I think that. Wait, remind me. I lost the question.
You're non-negotiable in your
Oh,
self-care.
sleep. So
Yeah,
I
cool.
go to
Good one.
bed every night at 9:30, like non-negotiable. I'm in my bed by 9. I'm asleep by 9:30. And it's funny because my partner is a night owl. And I used to think that there was like, I was like, is this bad that we like don't go to sleep together? But we've actually figured out that this is so wonderful for us because we both want alone time. We both have gone through divorces. We both like loved our independence post-divorce, and you don't want to lose that. And so for me, my mornings are sacred. I love that's when I do my deep thinking. I have my coffee. I'm chilling. And for him, he tucks me in and then he goes downstairs and he gets to play video games and he loves it. And I'm not
Love
there to
that.
be like, really? This is what we're doing right now? So it's kind of wonderful. We each get to have our alone time, which is hard to do when you're, an adult in a relationship with kids.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. So let's dig in a little bit into the masterclass. So I would love, and we talked a little bit before we hopped on. I signed up for the class. I took it. I love it. I'm a productivity and time management junkie, and there were so many amazing new takeaways. So I want to thank you for that. But I would love to just hear what your thought process was around. You have this successful, newsletter. You're writing a book. What made you create the masterclass?
So I believe in flywheels in marketing. And what I mean by that is you don't know what you're going to build until you start getting closer to the people who are reading the first thing or engaging with the first thing. And that will inform you what's next because it will feed it. And then when you keep doing that, you start to build this beautiful flywheel effect. And for me, launching the newsletter, I would test different types of content. I mean, I'm a marketer, so I'm thinking about how can I learn who my audience is and what they really care about. And outside of doing surveys, which I did, so it's funny, I started building the masterclass last August and September, and it was going to be around personal branding and how to start your first side hustle and all this stuff. But then I surveyed my audience and I looked at all the open rates of the different topics, and everyone came to me for productivity and time management. And when I dove deeper into that, I realized that people could relate to me because I'm a mom, three kids, and I don't have somebody else. Like I looked and I did a teardown of like every big productivity expert out there. And it's like 80% of them have wives that are probably taking care of a lot of the things at home. And I'm like, okay, there is a gap in the market for this. And even though there's so much productivity content out there, I'm like, I do think that there is something that's unique about my style and my story. So I basically spent the last 6 months combing through, and I've worked with Harvard-trained coaches. I've been in cognitive behavioral therapy for 6 years. There's so much on the internal growth side that unlocks the stuff. Like someone can tell you, hey, procrastination, here's how to beat it. But if you don't stop and actually say, what from your childhood did you not get that you don't feel like you deserve to do the thing that you know will make you feel better or the you know will get you closer to your goal? And so in the masterclass, I paired the inner work with the external stuff, like focus, et cetera. But if you don't, I say it a lot where we all have programming in our brain, right? Our childhood gave us that code, our experiences, added more code. And if we don't stop and look at the source code and change the source code, you can't run a new program. And I mean, if you find yourself saving 20 TikToks about a topic, but you don't do it, that's when you've got to say, well, what's inside of me that doesn't actually believe I deserve to do this thing or deserve to feel this way? Or what self-sabotaging am I doing or shaming am I doing? Like all of those things. So this masterclass is kind of like part therapy, part productivity. So it is a little different.
Yeah. And I would agree with that 100%. And I love how you have broken it in half, like the inner work and then the outer work. And, you talked about your superpower being focus. And that I think is one of the great takeaways from the masterclass is the ability of how to, if you are distracted and you feel like you're just up against a wall, how to break through that, what to do, different, very actionable, easy tips to take. So I think it's like I said, I can't gush enough about it. So thank you for taking all your wisdom and experiences and just like packaging it for the rest of us, mere mortals. But so as we think about like our the folks, a lot of my listeners, high performing corporate professionals, to your point about personal branding and really like wanting to take that step and what would you say if you had to give advice, two to three things that they could do like today to say, all right, I want to start moving the needle towards maybe starting my own thing.
So, a personal brand is the biggest asset you can add to your career. Let's break that down. What do I mean? One, increased pay. When you have a personal brand, you're seen as both an asset and a liability, meaning like they don't want to fuck up with you because they know you could easily tweet, you could easily post and take a company. But so more pay, then there's the increased opportunities. You're increasing your luck surface area by showing what you know. The like I've was featured in Forbes because the person followed me on Twitter, or I've gotten CMO opportunities because people followed me on Twitter or LinkedIn. I raised $2.6 million in capital for my startup because I built in public and showed how I think about the future of community and commerce. And so by doing so, you increase your luck surface area. And then, like the third thing, and I know women are the primary demographic, and I'll say this like very clearly, like I got a divorce, and my partner was a very powerful person. And I do believe that having a personal brand and a large following allowed me protection against what he probably would have done had I not. And
Interesting.
so, a lot of powerful women listening to this, like, just think about all the assets you can have when you're playing these different chess games. And it keeps people in line, like, they don't mess with you as much. So if you're thinking about getting started, and look, it's like you have the freedom to go build your own income streams. Like I now have five income streams and I'm making more money than I did as a CMO now in this next chapter of life. And I'm working less and I don't have bosses telling me what to do and when to do it and all that stuff. Now, do I think that this is like my final stop? No, there's probably a world where I'll go back and be a CMO again at some point, but this is just like a nice, I call it the spin cycle. Like I need to like release the heaviness and go try something else. So if you're trying to, if this sparks you and you're like, do I want to do this? The first thing is understanding that you are playing a game. If you're gonna build a personal brand, this is why I called my newsletter Life's a Game, but it's icky for everyone. No, and especially women, we are conditioned to be smaller, to not brag about yourself, to be super, super grateful for every opportunity. And you're playing a game, and I call it the valley of cringe. You will walk through it. And then eventually, with enough repetition and practice, it doesn't feel so cringy, but you have to walk through that valley. So anyone getting started, you will second guess everything you put out there. But you have to remember that when you're just getting started, no one sees it, which is so great because that gives you the time to walk through the valley, feel all the cringe. And then by the time you come out of it is when you've actually start getting eyeballs on your content. So it's about getting through the valley.
I
And
love that.
that's number one. Don't focus on, we're all perfectionists. If you've been successful in your career, you have done so because you are good and probably very ambitious and a perfectionist. You have to throw all of that away in the beginning because it's about consistency. Just waking up and getting and building the muscle of putting stuff into the world. And then once you've built the muscle is when you build the strategy and you figure out, okay, well, what is my goal? Why am I doing this? Like, what is my end goal? Am I trying to like teach people about, marketing? Am I trying to teach people about like, what is your, I like to say, what's your flavoring or seasoning? Like everyone's serving chicken, like we all are. Like everybody's talking about marketing or AI or crypto, like whatever. You go on and you're like, everybody's serving chicken. So you've got to figure out what your seasoning is. And my, look, talking about productivity, okay, chicken. But what's my seasoning? Okay, I'm a single mom. I have three kids. I've done this while navigating a divorce. Okay, that's my seasoning. I infuse my content with that, but it's still chicken. And I'm still teaching you how to stay focused and time manage and all that stuff. So think about it in that way. You're going to serve chicken, and that's okay. You don't have to recreate the wheel, but you have to figure out what your unique blend of herbs and spices, KFC, is.
Yes.
And
Oh, I
then
love that.
you move into that. And then the third thing I'll say is the game is all about a team. And everyone playing the game of building a personal brand has a team. And what I mean by that is not somebody that they've hired, it's engagement pods. They all have found other people who are playing the game and they're at the same level as them. And they say, hey, you're playing the game, I'm playing the game. Let's kind of support each other. And you tell them, you say, I show up every day at noon. Do you show up every day at noon? Cool. I'll send my link to you. You send your link to me. We'll engage with it. Like, that's what's happening out there. And if you don't understand that, like, people are not just growing organically, they're playing the game. And so that's, those are kind of the three things I would say.
Oh, I love that. Oh, there's so much goodness in there. I'm in a pod, so I'm like, yay, I'm doing the right
Yes,
thing. It's so true,
exactly.
though.
Playing the
It's,
game.
yeah, it's so true. All right, so one last question, which always throws everybody off. What is your favorite life hack? And that is anything. It could be a tip, an app, a routine, a mantra that makes your life easier.
Oh gosh.
I know you have, probably have so many.
So I am so old school, and I know I've talked about this. Like, I know people can't see me, but like, I'm showing like the 8 million post-it notes that I have surrounding me, like stacks of them. Meaning, whenever I am stuck or overwhelmed, I do this simple thing. I will take a post-it, I write one thing on it, and then I go for a walk. And I literally have this one little walk I do. It takes me about 10 minutes and I come back and then I have that post-it note. And I, oh, the other important thing is before I leave my desk, I close out of everything. And so when I come back, the only thing staring at me is that deck I need to do, or that email I need to send, or that P&L that I want to look at. And I do that thing. And so that has been my hack of like, I don't believe in long lists. I think that we bite off so much more than we can chew. And I do believe that that comes from a place of like self-harm or self-punishment. Like when you write a long to-do list and at the end of the day you look at it and you're mad at yourself for not getting more done, who in your life or what narrative was created that said you weren't enough, that this wasn't enough? And so for me, I this has taken 20 years of reprogramming. So this does not happen overnight. But like for me, one thing is enough. And if I get that one thing done and I check in with myself and I'm say, I'm good. I that was enough for today. I will literally sign off at 3 p.m. and be like, no guilt. Yes, could I do more? Sure. But do I think that that is going to come at the expense of my mental health, my physical health? And if I check in with myself and I feel that, then I write my to-do list, my to-do list, and one to-do list. I write two things I'm going to tackle the next day, and that's it. And I only try to do one to two things a day.
I love it. I love it. And that's probably one of the things I love the most about the master classes. I used to be a 25, a list of 25 things, and I'd be, like I said, all aggravated. I didn't get through all of them, or only half, or none. So the two big ones, right? Like two, like not the busy work, right? Two like
Exactly.
meaty, gonna move things, make good progress. I love that so much. So that's a great one. Love
Yeah,
it.
I
And the
find that like
post-its.
long to-do lists just they sit on your desk and stare at you like this thing that's haunting you and making you feel bad all the time. So I just replace the thinking of like I'll have a backlog. I will think of something and I will put it in a backlog, meaning that's not right now. I'll look at you in a little bit, but like I'm in control of this. So, yeah.
Yes. Oh, so good. So I would love for you to share where people could connect with you, sign up for the newsletter. I will include everything in the show notes. And full disclosure, I am an affiliate. I won't recommend anything to my listeners or followers that I haven't personally tried and enjoy and get a lot of value out of. So share away.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amandagetz.com. That's where you can find me. I'm most active right now on Twitter and LinkedIn. I've made it an anti-goal to be on TikTok and Instagram right now because I just don't have the bandwidth for it. So Instagram's just a chaotic view of my like personal life. So if you want that, by all means, but you've been warned. But Twitter and LinkedIn is where I'm sharing more about, how to build a personal brand. I do have a community, a membership community that you can join where I'm basically doing one-on-one coaching every day via Slack, and you can see what other people are doing. So it's a community about 100 people and it's pretty
Cool.
accessible, but the most accessible price point in working with me is really the master class, is getting everything I'm teaching in office hours, but more in a self-paced program.
Love it. Love it. I want to thank you so much. I thoroughly enjoyed learning about you and getting a look like under the hood, like the whole background, the whole story. So thank you so much for spending this time with me.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
I would love to share with you a brand new newsletter that I started a few months ago. It is called the Grateful Soul Newsletter. And this is a weekly newsletter that comes out and shares a variety of different activities, events, classes, conferences, all related to spirituality, yoga, sound healing, all the incredible things going on in the community that will help heal your soul, keep you healthy, and hopefully create a community of folks that are all on the path to the same place, right? It's really about tuning into your intuition, healing yourself, and enjoying spending time with a group of like-minded people that are focused on the same things. So the Grateful Soul newsletter, highly recommend. Sign up for it. It comes out every week. You could unsubscribe if it's not your thing, but I think you will really enjoy seeing all the different local events that are happening.